Then we come, and here is the crisis. We're getting pretty dangerously close to rebirth now. We come to the fourth chakra, and this is the chakra of judgment. You remember, this is where the devotee touched the feet of God. Now he may lose the feet. Here's where we stand on our campus, between the realms of contemplation and the realms of what is now being advertised as activism. The whole thing will be lost if you respond to what are called the karmic winds. These blowing breaths that cry, kill, kill. There is something to be gained. There is something to be lost. You have to hold to the thought, nothing to hold, nothing to gain, nothing to do. If you lose that, there will build up behind you a wall of three powers, and then you cannot go back. And the three powers are stupidity, malice or anger, and desire or lust. Those are what move the world, and we're moving down now. At this point, the Lord of Judgment appears in the form of a great ox with many hands. This is a figure you see all through the Tibetan tradition. And his minions will come, and you will find yourself carved to pieces, your guts torn out, all the tortures you can possibly think of. And the Orient has quite a little glossary of tortures, will be enacted upon you. And you have to think, these are simply manifestations of my own thought. If you can't think that, you start for the finale. At this point, Freudian psychology appears. Namely, the soul in the descent begins to see males and females copulating. And at the third chakra level, the Lama is saying, try not to get between them. And if that is lost, then comes this very interesting experience of delight in what's about to happen. And what you find is, if you are to be born now as a male, you will love your mother, find yourself loving your mother and hating your father. Did Freud teach us anything? And if you are going to be born as a female, you will find yourself hating your potential mother and loving your father. And then, after all this, having gone for 49 days through all the planes, from the supreme consciousness down to this, this little squealing thing is born and thinks it has come new into the world, but within it is the whole thing again. This is the Oriental concept now that underlies the cults that we see. This is the aim, to find that in yourself. Now, there are two responses. Suppose you have found the light and have contemplated this still pond. You may let the body drop off. Close the eyes, as it were, and unite with this central transcendent realization. Or you may open the eyes and take delight in the play of forms, seeing through them the one form. That is the attitude of world affirmation, and it includes the affirmation of every single thing, even the monsters. When I was in India, I listened around a while to see who the wise man would be that I would choose to have my principal sort of mystical discussion with. And I chose one who had lived in the world. He had been a policeman, which is not regarded very highly in India. And he was, nevertheless, a great saint. And I was introduced to him and went into the room where he was sitting, and there was a chair for me to sit in, and we greeted each other respectfully, and he asked, do you have a question? And I had the good fortune to ask him the question, which he had asked his guru when he first came to him. And so we had a fine conversation. And what I said was, what I asked him was, if, as we know, all things are Brahman, are this divine energy, then why do we renounce the world? Why do we renounce vice? Why do we renounce stupidity? Why do we not see the divine shining through the most brutal, the most horrendous, the most stupid, the darkness. And he said, for you and me, that's where it is.